A very good evening to all, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. We thank our Lord for giving yet another opportunity to discuss His wonderful words of life. So today, we are going to see one important topic about which, you see, happened in the life of the people of Israel. We all know very well that the people of Israel were in bondage in Egypt. And after many years of bondage and severe work and labor, they were so much fed up that they used to frequently cry to God for deliverance. You see, dear brethren, and that is the time that, you see, God, you see, heard the cry and raised a deliverer, and that is Moses. And Moses, you see, went to see Pharaoh and told Pharaoh to leave the people of Israel, let them go, so they may worship God. But Pharaoh would never listen to the words of Moses. And he said, who is your God and why should I listen to your God? Because he himself was like a god in Egypt, you see. And he would never listen, you see. And we all know very well that when, you see, Pharaoh did not give heed to the words of Moses, then God brought 10 plagues upon Egypt. You see, the plagues were so severe that the first three plagues actually affected both of the Egyptians as well as the Israelites. But the rest of the seven plagues, it affected only the Egyptian people. And the last 10th plague was only upon the firstborn. So, what all plagues came upon the Egyptians? If you see, the first plague was that water was turned to blood. There was no water, not even for drinking, not even for usage, anything. And this came upon the whole land of Egypt, both upon the Egyptians as well as you see, the Israelites. And the second plague, you see, that came was the plague of the frogs. All over the land of, you see, Israel, there were frogs all over, you see, different. So, what happened was that the Egyptians could not kill the frogs. Why? Because they believed that Nile was their god. And especially the frog that lived in the Nile River was actually their gods. So, once the Nile River got completely bled, you see, all the frogs came out of Nile and infected the entire land of Egypt. So it was very difficult for them to control this plague. You see, and the third plague that came was lice. And the entire, you see, Egyptians, you see, the lice came upon the entire body. And the fourth plague was the flies and beetles. You see, this filled the entire land of Egypt. And the fifth one was a disease of the livestock because of these, you see, the flies and the beetles which sat upon all the, you see, animals and the cattle and all. It actually infected each and every, you see, cattle and all. And thus what happened was that as a result, there was a great disease among all the livestock of the Egyptians. This affected only the Egyptians, not the Israelites. So, the sixth one was the boils. You see, the boils upon all the animals, the boils upon human body. The boils were so severe that they began to scratch the body. And this was the sixth plague. And the seventh plague was the falling of the hailstone from the sky. You see, we all know very well when there is a heavy rain, you see, the hailstones actually fall from the sky. So here we see that the hailstone was so huge that it was like as if a hailstone mingled with fire. And this fell upon the Egyptians. And the eighth one was locusts. You see, the grasshoppers that covered the entire land of Egypt and all the crops were entirely, totally destroyed. And the ninth plague was the darkness. Pitch darkness in such a way that all the Egyptians, wherever they sat there for 3 days. They could not move at all. It was such a pitch darkness that not even their hands could be seen. Not even the person who sat next to each other could be seen. But the next road, you see, there was light in the land where the people of Egypt, Israelites, dwelt. So, this was the ninth plague. The last plague was the plague of the firstborn. That was the time that the Passover was celebrated. Okay. Now, dear brethren, see, why did God permit these 10 plagues? God could have destroyed in a single plague. But here, if you see, after each and every plague, Pharaoh called for Moses, you see, and he promised that he would deliver, you see, the Israelites and let them go if he prayed to God and God will remove this plague. But unfortunately, after each and every request considered by Moses, Moses prayed to God. God removed this plague. But as God removed the plague, Pharaoh hardened his heart. We read this one in Exodus initial chapters very clearly that each and every plague that was removed, it hardened the heart of Pharaoh. You see, and again he would be stubborn. He would never let his people go. So, here, dear brethren, you see that this continued. Hence, there was 10 plagues. And the last 10 plague was so severe that Pharaoh's firstborn was killed. And as soon as Pharaoh lost his own son, Pharaoh immediately, you see, commanded all the Israelites to be thrown out of Egypt. So, hence, with a mighty hand, all the Israel came out of Egypt. Now, okay. Now, what is the meaning of this one? What does it represent? What does it mean to us? Dear brethren, you see, we all know very well that the whole world is under bondage under the God of this world. As Pharaoh controlled the entire Egyptians as well as the Israelites, similarly, the whole world is under the control of the God of this world, the devil himself. And the devil doesn't allow God's children to worship the one true God. Always his target is his God's children. Always try to keep them in his own bondage. He would never allow them to go out of his clutches and worship one true God, dear brethren. You see, and you see, that is the time that he would give false promises, you see, and false hopes, and try to keep his children, you see, than to go to worship his God. But God, you see, as he raised Moses, even God has raised Jesus, through whom there is deliverance. Jesus pleads for us, you see, and try to intercede for us and to set us free. So, Pharaoh represents Satan, Moses represents Jesus, and the people of Israel represents God's children, while Egypt itself represents the whole world. Okay. Now, what else does Egypt represent? Let us read one verse in Revelation 11:8. Revelation 11:8. Amar brother, can you read Revelation 11:8?
Okay, Revelation 11:8, and their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified.
See, here it says, you see, in the their bodies were lying in land of Sodom and Egypt. You see? So, it is says that spiritually, you see, in the land of Sodom and Egypt, where our Lord also was crucified. Correct, no? Now, you tell me, where was our Lord Jesus crucified? Was he crucified in Egypt or was he crucified in Sodom? Tell me, where was our Lord Jesus crucified? Very tough one, Sarah. Very tough question. Tell me, where was Jesus crucified? Yeah, nobody knows the answer. Where was Jesus crucified? Where did Jesus die? Where did Jesus
Golgotha.
die? Golgotha, very good. Where is it? Is it in Sodom or is it in Egypt?
Israel.
Israel. But in Revelation it says Sodom and Egypt not. You see? This is not literally Sodom and Egypt, because the verse itself clearly says, spiritually, it is called as Sodom and Egypt. Spiritually, that means this is a symbolic Sodom and symbolic Egypt. Now, you tell me, how can our Lord be crucified? You see, what all ways can Jesus be crucified? One way is that he can literally be crucified on the cross, where he actually gave his life for us. That happened many years before in the land of Israel and Golgotha. Apart from this, can we crucify Jesus again and again? You see, can we crucify? Yes, we can crucify Jesus again and again. How? You see, by conducting the mass. You see, by conducting the Lord's memorial every now and then, monthly, weekly, daily, you see, our Lord Jesus is being crucified again and again. Okay. Now, where is our Lord Jesus crucified? You see, our Lord Jesus is crucified in Sodom and Egypt. It's not literal Sodom and literal Egypt. This is symbolic. Now, you tell me, where or who conducts the memorial? Weekly, monthly, daily. Tell me. Where do we see that the memorial is conducted? Weekly, monthly, daily. The Lord's Supper is there, no? Where is it conducted daily? Where is it conducted weekly? Or where is it conducted monthly? Tell me.
Sorry, brother, what was your question?
The question was that, you see, we know that the Lord's memorial has to be conducted only yearly once, correct?
Yes.
But where do they conduct it, monthly, weekly, or daily?
Catholic.
Yes. Then, only Catholics, huh?
Protestants
as yes, well. Protestants. See, these two denominations, the Protestants as well as the Catholic, they conduct this memorial, you see, whenever they want, monthly, weekly, daily. This is the symbolic Egypt. This is the symbolic Sodom, where our Lord Jesus is crucified again and again. So, the Babylon, the great Babylon, the great false churches, that is Egypt as per the Bible. So, who was the prince of Egypt? There, Pharaoh was there. You see, now who was stuck in Egypt? God's children, Israel, were stuck in Egypt. Now, whom did God send to deliver the God's children? God sent Moses. Similarly, today, you see, God's children are stuck in all the false churches. You see, in the Babylon. Now, God by giving them this truth, cast them out of Babylon. But you see, will Satan leave the God's children to go and worship the one true God? No, he would not go. He would not allow them to go. Hence, what will happen? God's plague come upon them. You see, God's wrath is coming upon them. But even then, Satan won't allow God's children. Read Revelation 18. Revelation 18, 4. Romester, can you read Revelation 18, 4?
And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sin, and that ye receive not of her plagues.
Ah, you see, come out of her, my people. Come out. You see, God tells God's children to come out. But what does Satan say? Come in. Come in, my children. Don't go out. Come in. Isn't it? So, that is the work of the devil. Now, there God sent 10 plagues. One after the other, one after the other. You see, Pharaoh told lies that I will release, I will release, I will release. You never release. But you know what happened? Actually, when the plague was going severe, 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 Pharaoh was sometimes fed up. You see? And hence, sometimes in between, he called Moses to compromise. You see, Moses strictly told that he should allow the entire people of the nation of Israel to go out of Egypt and worship God. Initially, Pharaoh told, no, I won't allow. Then, as the plagues came one upon the other, he cooled down. He tried to call Moses for compromise in saying, no, first only you go. First, only men go, then go and come back. You see? So, such time of compromises, he tried to bargain with Moses. You see? So, such type, four compromises were given by Pharaoh. You see? For example, how many compromises? Four compromises for Moses. You see? So that he may try to adjust and stay there only. But today, we are going to see what are those four compromises and learn and see what lessons do we have with you see, with these four compromises for us. Okay, the first compromise you see Pharaoh gave was given to us in Exodus 8 chapter verse 25 and 26. Okay, Joel brother, can you read Exodus 8 chapter 25 and 26?
And Pharaoh called for Moses and for Aaron and said, go ye, sacrifice to your God in the land. And Moses said, it is not meet to so do, to do, for we shall sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptian to the Lord our God. Lo, shall we sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptian before their eyes, and will they not stone us?
See, the first compromise Pharaoh gives is that, you see, go. You wanted to sacrifice your God to your God. No, you wanted to worship your God. No, go, don't worry. But do that one in the land of Egypt itself. Here only you worship your God. You see, so that is what Satan tells. You learned the truth. You heard the classes. You heard the basic classes. You see? Good. Okay. No problem. But you want to worship God? Why don't you worship God here only? Here in Mere. Here in the Christendom only. Here in the false church only. You want to sacrifice to God? No problem. You can do whatever sacrifice you want while staying in the false church only. You don't believe the false teachings among the churches? Don't worry. Don't believe. You see? But stay here. some people, you see, they get compromised for this wonderful offer. Correct, no? Let me stay in the false church only. No problem. What is the use? I can stay here, but yet worship the one true God. You see, some, you see, are so strict that as soon as they listen to one truth, even one basic class is sufficient, they leave out the churches. They leave out all the first false churches, you see. And some people, they're even other way. They'll tell, no, I will stay in Babylon. I will go and teach Babylon. I will go and correct Babylon. You see, can we correct Babylon? Or else, can we preach to the false Christians who don't believe the truth? You see, what did Moses say? Verse 26, he said, no, it is not meet for us to do so. For if we shall sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians to Lord our God, you see, what will the Egyptians do? They will stone us. They won't keep quiet. Similarly, if you start being in Babylon and tell all these teachings to the Babylon, will they listen? No, they would never listen at all. Dear brethren, they would never listen. You see, what will happen then, dear brethren? You see, what will happen when nobody listens, even after we telling, we will start get cooled off. We will think there is nothing much difference between that one and this one. So we will become cool. What does the Bible say? What did Jesus say? Read Revelation 3rd chapter. How should we be in the truth? Revelation 3rd chapter. Munna sister, please read Revelation 3:15 and 16. Munna sister, you're there? Revelation 3rd chapter 15 and 16. Okay. Joel brother, can you read?
I know why thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I will thou wait cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spout thee out my mouth.
You see, what did he say? Jesus said no. Either you be cold, either you be hot. Just because you're neither hot nor cold, I will spew out of your mouth. We can't be this way, that way, dear brother. We need to take decisions. Whether we need to love the Lord, whether we need to worship the Lord, whether we need to sacrifice the Lord or not. We can't be both ways. We can't be in Babylon as well as in the truth. What did Jesus say? Jesus said, no man can serve two masters. If he is going to serve two masters, he is going to please one and displease the other. We can't serve our Lord and we can't serve Satan also. We need to take decision and come out of Babylon. We can't correct Babylon. Some people think that we will stay in Babylon. A lot of friends are there. A lot of relatives are there. Our brother is there. Sister is there. We will correct Babylon. No. We can never correct Babylon. Why? Because God himself has tried to correct Babylon several times. After all his efforts, only is telling Revelation 18:4, we just now read, come out of her, my people, for our sins are reached to heaven, lest you be partakers of her plague. God himself has tried through the seventh angel, our brother Charles Taze Russell. Through him only is tried to correct Babylon, but Babylon would never correct. You see, read Jeremiah 51:9. Jeremiah 51:9. Romy sister, can you read Jeremiah 51:9?
Sorry, brother, can you tell me the verse again?
Jeremiah 51:9, sister.
We would have healed Babylon, but she is not healed. forsake her and let us go everyone into his own country for her reacheth unto heaven and it lifted up even to the skies.
See, what does God say? Huh? Flee Babylon, come out of Babylon, leave her, because our sins are reached to heaven. God himself is saying, come out. When God himself is telling to come out, we should listen. That means God knows exactly that Babylon can never be corrected. You see, through our brother Russell only, you see, Babylon was trying to be corrected. But did it get corrected? No. You see, dear brethren, hence Satan labeled him also as a false cult. Dear brethren, Satan tries to do all the, you see, evil activities to spoil somebody's name. Dear brethren, you see, telling that Brother Russell is the founder of Jehovah's Witness. Well, he is never the founder of Jehovah's Witness, because Jehovah's Witness was formed only after death of Brother Russell. You see, in your places also, I think a lot of Jehovah's Witness is there. That day we saw on the road. You see, if we were Jehovah's Witness, why would we come? They would only come to your place, no? Already is there in your place. Dear brethren, so we should understand what type of compromise, you see, Satan gives us. You know, when Pharaoh offered them to worship year only, do you think Pharaoh would have told go worship wherever you want? No. He would have told, I will give you a beautiful land. I will only build your temple and give. I will only build your altar and give. What all you want and tell me, I'll give you, but you stay year only. Similarly, when we are listening to the classes only, you know how Satan will deviate us? You see, he will deviate us through friends, through pastors, through relatives. You see, you devil tell, oh, you're leaving your close friends, you're leaving your close relatives. You see, such loving friends who were so close to you for so many years, pastors. You see, but dear brethren, you see, we should take decision whether we need to please the master or we need to please men. You see, nobody can, you see, give us salvation. Nobody can help us to get the heavenly salvation. We need to work it out ourselves. We need to work it out. And how do we get it? Only by pleasing the Lord. You see, read Galatians 1:10. Joel brother, read Galatians 1:10.
For do I now persecute men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be servant of Christ.
You see, whom should I please? Please men or God? If I'm still trying to please men, that I'm never a servant of God. If you're not the servant of God, then forget about being a disciple of Jesus, dear brethren. Therefore, Jesus said, until you deny yourself, carry the cross and follow me, you can't be my disciple. You see, you know, we can't drink of the Lord's cup as well as the cup of the devil. You see, there are two cups, dear brethren. You see, we need to take decision into whom we will drink. You see, very shortly, there's going to be the Lord's Supper. You see, this year's Lord's Supper falls on April 21st. You see, it comes only yearly once. We need to take decision whether we're going to, you see, partake in the Lord's cup, partake in the Lord's table, or partake in the devil's table. Satan would give us a lot of offer at this time only, so that we may never follow the Lord. Isn't it? But we need to take decisions, dear brethren. See, Corinthians, brother. 1 Corinthians 10:21. Amar brother, can you read 1 Corinthians 10:21?
He cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. He cannot be a partaker of the Lord's table and of the table of tables.
See, we can't take both the table. We need to decide. You see, so as Moses decided, similarly we also need to decide. Moses never compromised for anything given. So what happened again? Again, the severe plagues went on. You see, again, Pharaoh was fed up, and again, Pharaoh called Moses for compromise. You know, this time, what was the compromise he gave? Let us read Exodus 8, chapter, verse 28. Amar brother, can you read Exodus 8, 28, brother?
Exodus 8:28. And the Pharaoh said, I will let you go that he may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness. Only he shall not go very far away in truth for me.
See, what did he say? Pharaoh said, I will let you go. No problem. You want to go, go, go. But where do you go? Don't go too far. That means pray for me. That means what? Have a touch with us. Don't go too far. We all know very well the character of people of Israel. Even after leaving Egypt, going so far, almost near the border of Canaan land, there only they decided, you see, to stone Moses, kill Moses, and name a new leader and come back to, you see, come back to where? Come back to Egypt. You see, then if Moses would have listened and been very near to Egypt, what would have people done? People would have run back to Egypt. See the very cunning, you see, subtle deception of the devil. Then similarly, Satan also tells us, don't go too far. You see, don't go too far to sacrifice to the Lord. You see, don't offer your body as a living sacrifice. What foolish thing you're doing. You can just worship the Lord wherever you want. Just two and three are gathered in my name. That is sufficient. No need to sacrifice to the Lord. Sacrifice all is finished. You see, dear brethren, you see, some people, they do like this only. They tell, for basic class, we'll come and listen here. But for worship, for Saturday worship, where we'll go? We will go there only. Why? Keep in touch, keep in contact. You see, dear brethren, Pharaoh said, be here only. Be very close. You know, how Pharaoh took care of people of Israel? He gave them good food, healthy food. Read Numbers. Numbers 11 chapter. Joel brother, read Numbers 11 chapter, verse 5 brother. Chapter, verse 5.
Okay. We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic.
See, what good food he has given now? Melons, fish, bread, cucumber, onion, whatever. So, we all remember these things. So, we'll go back. You see, similarly, Satan will tell, what is there here? Small chairs, nothing is there, only a few people. There, big people are there. Big church is there. Big choir group is there. Lot of inflation people are there. Anything happens, they will come running. You see, educated people are there. You see, it's a big organization. Dear brethren, think. What good or influential people were there with Jesus? With Jesus, they were only fishermen, you see, not well educated, except, you see, you can say Matthew, the tax collector. Nobody went to school, all were illiterate. What does the Bible say? The Bible says the God has called the poor of this world, but rich in faith. You see, that is God's calling. Read James 2:5. James 2:5, brother. Romister, can you read James 2:5? Romister, you there? Okay.
Yes. James, verse, which one?
James 2:5. Second chapter, verse 5.
Yes. Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him?
Them that love him. God has called the poor of this world rich in faith, dear brethren. You see, Jesus himself never went to school. He was never an influential guy, but great. God took care of him. What did Moses reply for this compromise of Pharaoh? Let us read Exodus 8:27. Joel, brother, read Exodus 8:27, brother.
We will go there. We will go 3 days journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God as he shall command us.
See, what did Moses say? We will travel 3 days and sacrifice the way as God has commanded us. This should be our reaction. You see, some people, you know, Satan will tell, oh, there are so many churches nearby. You know, we are going so far. We are taking so risk. You see, dear brethren, yes, there may be so many churches, but there is no truth in them. There is no God in those churches, dear brethren. God's children need to travel very far. You see, even heaven is also far. We're into a plan just to quit it, no? But yet we take risk, no? You see, even heaven, from heaven, earth was very far. Jesus came from very far, you see, took risk for our sake, dear brethren. So we also need to travel very far. 3 days journey in those days means 45 miles, dear brethren. Imagine. 45 miles, it is so easy just to come to worship God. Dear brethren, we need to take that risk for the Lord. What does the Bible say? Where the dead bodies are there the vultures will gather. So, dead body is important for the vulture. That is the food. This is the place where we get spiritual food. For this one, we should be ready to take any risk. You see, whatever it may be, even cover a lot of distance to sacrifice for the Lord. So this was the second compromise. You see, dear brethren, and after plagues went on, you see, so there again, what happened, if you see, Pharaoh called the third time and gave yet one more compromise. So what was the compromise that was given? Let us read Exodus 10 chapter verse 8. Exodus 10, verse 8. Joel, brother, can you read Exodus 10, 8?
And Moses and Aaron were brought again into Pharaoh, and he said unto them, go serve the Lord your God. But who are they that shall go?
See? First, he said, don't go. Second, he said, don't go too far. But third, now he himself is compromising and telling, okay, you want to go, go. But who are all you going? Huh? How many people are going? Whom do you want to take along with you? Huh? You see, you know, what does it tell? Huh? Pharaoh tells, take only the men and go. Read, brother. Verse 11, brother.
Not so go now ye that are men and serve the Lord, for that ye desired, and they were driven out from Pharaoh's presence.
See, What did Moses say? Sorry, Pharaoh say. Pharaoh said, huh? You want to go? Go. But take only men and go. No women, no children. You know? What does it mean? It means you leave your family yearly and you all go. And you all go and worship the Lord. Imagine, just leave the family here. If entire Israel people leaves Egypt, then what will happen now? If their family is here, do they think that they will not return back? They will return back. Dear brethren, see, I come to your place. When I come to your place, I book return ticket. Correct, no? Now, why do I book return ticket? Because my family is here. Isn't it? Wife is here, children is here. So, I buy a return ticket. You see, that means Pharaoh, if he is telling to leave his family here and go, indirectly he is telling, book your return ticket and go. He knows very well if the family is here, they will definitely return back. See, this is what the Satan does. You see, no? What does Satan say? You learned the classes. Good, you go, you go, you go, no problem. But don't take your family. Don't take your husband. Don't take your wife. Don't take your children. Leave them. Leave them here and let them come here. You see? Dear brethren, you think it will work out? No. You see, if the husband is listening to the truth and the wife is not listening to the truth, you know what will happen, dear brethren? You see, that won't work out. That won't bring peace in the family. Disturbance will come. What did Jesus say? Jesus said, I never came to bring peace on this earth. I came to bring a sword. Difference between the mother-in-law and the daughter-in-law, brother and the sister, husband and the wife, son and the father. That difference will come because one will stand for the truth, another will not stand for the truth. You see, dear brethren, we have taken classes so many places. Everywhere we advised, come as a family. That is very, very important. Because initially, they don't understand the concept of this truth. But you see, as we go on, we realize that this truth is not like other Bible study in the world. This is the real truth. This is the one and only truth. So it will definitely urge us and bring us to consecration and devote our life to the Lord. Then what will happen now? You see, one person in the family will come. Other person will be just left like that only. So what will happen? That will create disturbance. You know, how Satan will attack? How did Satan attack Adam? Satan knew very well that he could not touch Adam because he was very strong. Therefore, he attacked Adam through Eve. He was a weaker vessel. Similarly, Satan also will do like the same thing. You see, he will attack to the unconsecrated. Therefore, the entire family is advised to take consecration. Mother, father, brothers, sisters. You see, they have the faith that is sufficient. Dividend is not required at each and every intricate details of the basic class is to be understood. You see, the concept, the divine plan, the concept of the God's plan, that is sufficient. The faith is important. Bible never says that you have so much of wisdom and all those things. Wisdom and knowledge is important, but faith is the main thing. You see, which is the victory that overcomes the world? 1 John 5:7. You see, faith. Faith is the one that overcomes the world. If we need to overcome the world, we need to have faith. What did Apostle Paul say? I have fought a good fight of faith. Hold on to the truth. You see, the faith on the truth. God's plan for entire mankind. That concept you have, that hell is not a place of torment. Soul dies. Trinity is not there. Truth about Antichrist, truth about second coming. You see, about the divine plan, about 1,000 years, that is sufficient. Then many brothers are committed this mistake, but not bringing the family. You know, there's a wonderful brother who listened to the classes. You see, he was so dedicated that after listening to the classes, you see, we formed the ecclesia in their place itself. But one mistake he did was that as he was listening to the truth, he never witnessed the truth to his wife. So, worship was going on in his house, but that sister would just walk out to the next door church and finish and come. It went on for many years, but ultimately, you know, what happened? There was discomfort between husband and wife. She began to weep and brother began to compromise. You see, this is what Satan will do. As soon as a wife starts weeping, husband will melt down and try to surrender to her instead of surrender to God. We should stand for the truth, people. Then, husband is head of the family. You should stand for the truth, and not only himself, the entire family. What did Joshua say? As for me and my family, we will worship the Lord. That's what Satan will do. You see, you know what did Pharaoh say? You see, Pharaoh said, leave your wife and children here and go. Why? Because what will happen in Simsa? You see, if you go, evil will come. Read verse 10, brother. Exodus 10, 10, brother. Joy, brother. Exodus 10, 10.
And he said unto them, let the Lord be so with you, as I will let you go, and your little ones look to it, for evil is before you.
See, evil is before you. I will let your children, wife, and go, but be very careful. What is there? Evil will happen, danger will happen to them. You see? So don't take your children and wife. Satan will disturb the mind. You will go there. Who will take care of your wife? Who will take care of your children? Oh, who will conduct their marriage? You see, dear brethren, God would definitely conduct. For Adam, who conducted the first marriage? God himself conducted. So many God's children are there in so many, you see, gospel age, so many people. God's children will get married to the consecrated. You see? See, I am married. I am married to whom? I am married to the God's children only. Consecrated. Hence, you see, there is no disturbance for the spiritual life. But Satan will try to disturb your spiritual life. You see, and seek worldly women, worldly girls, worldly boys. And try to have, you see, relationship with them. And they will deviate them from the truth. As they did for Solomon, the wisest of all the men. You see, married the woman who worshipped other gods. So what happened ultimately? He went out from the path of God at all. Then this is what Satan would do. You see, so what did Jesus say? He that doesn't love me more than my father, brother, sister, husband and wife has his own life, he can't be my, you see, disciple. Some people tell, no brother, how can I leave my church? Oh, you, it's my mother church. I can't leave her. Oh, that is where I learned, accepted Jesus. That is very important. That is not important. Accepting is Jesus is important. Not that accepted Jesus where, that is not important. Where you accepted Jesus, that is not at all important. You see, but you're accepting Jesus and following his path. That is important. You see, read Isaiah 4:1. Romister, please read Isaiah 4:1. Isaiah 4, chapter 1st verse.
And in the day, seven women shall take hold of one man, saying, we will eat our own bread, and wear our own apparel. Only let us be called by thy name to take away our reproach.
Reproach. You see, in that day, seven women shall take hold of one man. Who is the seven women? Seven means complete. Woman means false church. You see? Today, all the false churches are taken hold of one man, Jesus. They're saying, give us only your name. Because without your name, no Christians will come to the church. But we will have our own food. We will prepare our own food. All the false doctrine prepared and taught in theology college. We learned hell, soul, doctrines, false doctrines. So no redemption, no salvation. You see? And Lord's Supper, baptism, all the false doctrines they learned. Trinity. We have our own food. We have our own clothing. You see, we just need what? Your name. You see, that is the condition of the world. That is the condition of the false churches today. You see, dear brethren, some people think, brother, if we come here, we'll get married. Will we get a good companion? Will we get a grave? Who will do our funeral? Dear brethren, who will take off our marriage and all these things? If something happens, will we come? Yes, we will come. We got all the things registered legally to establish a church. You see, all the permissions legally, it has been obtained, dear brethren. So, all the steps, God's children will definitely take it, and God will help us. See, Jesus did not talk about his burial before his death. But then what happened? After his death, God gave him a rich burial. A rich man's tomb was offered. So, similarly, you see, God will definitely help his children. He would never leave us. He has promised us, you will never leave us, never forsake us. Similarly, dear brethren, you see, God would never leave us. And what was the reply of Moses for this one? Joel, brother, read Exodus 10, verse 9.
And Moses said, we will go with our young and with our old, with our sons and with our daughters, with our flocks and with our herds, will we go, for we must hold a feast unto the Lord.
What did Moses say? We can't listen to you. We will take entire family. Young, old, male, female, children, you see, everybody, we will take everybody, because we need to have a feast, not only just go and worship in a temple and lightly come like that. No, we need to have a feast. This is how God's children should make decision with them. If we go, we will go entire family to worship the Lord. Now, this compromise did not work out. Now, what happened? Again, you see, Pharaoh called for Moses, come, we will discuss. This time, what was the offer that was given? Read Exodus 10 chapter, verse 24. Exodus 10, 24. Amar brother, can you read Exodus 10, 24?
Exodus 24, 25. And Pharaoh called unto Moses and said, Go ye, serve the Lord, only let your flocks and your herds be stayed. Let your little ones also go with you.
You see? Now, what Pharaoh is telling, you want your family to go, take and definitely. But leave your herds, leave your flock here only and go. What does it mean? You see, that is the property. Israel people did not have any property, did not have any building, anything, nothing. Nothing was there in Egypt. Their only property was their flock. Now, Pharaoh is telling, leave your property here only and go. But what did Jesus say? Where is your heart? Where will the people's heart be? Tell me, what did Jesus say? Tell me. Jesus said no. Where your property is there?
Yes. Your heart.
Yes, there your heart is there. That means, Pharaoh is saying, leave your heart and go. You know, they went so far and tried to came back. After taking everything, if they left the flock and all, what would have happened? Even after entering, they would have returned back. You know, that is the reason there is a proverb. Israel left Egypt. You see, Israel people left Egypt. But Egypt never left Israel. All the Egyptians thought, were always in their mind. Dear brethren, you see, if we leave Egypt, we should completely quit Egypt. You know, without taking any animal, what will they go and offer sacrifice to the Lord? Huh? What did Moses say? Read verse 25. Amar brother, read brother, verse 25.
And Moses said, thou must give us also sacrifices and burnt offering that we may sacrifice unto the Lord our God.
See? We need to take everything because we need to offer sacrifice to the Lord. Dear brethren, just listening to the truth and coming and going is not sufficient. No, 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 that is not at all. It's of no use. We need to offer sacrifice to the Lord. What do we offer sacrifice to the Lord? We should offer our body as a living sacrifice to the Lord. That is consecration. Consecration is very important. You know, in the law, God told, if anybody has to come to the God temple, he should never come empty-handed. He should bring something at least in his hand. Similarly, if we are trying to be God's children, if we want to be the true church, we just can't simply come, listen and go. We need to dedicate ourselves. We need to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. Read Romans 12:1. Joel brother, Romans 12:1.
I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service.
Which is a reasonable service. That is the service of God. Not Saturday service, Sunday service. They say, no. Oh, did you go to service? This is the service. Offering our bodies as a living service. Reasonable service, dear brethren. This also, if we don't do, what? Huh? Anyway, we're going to die. You see, if you are there in the world, do you think we can live happily? No, we're going to die. Let us offer ourselves to the Lord. Definitely, Lord would never harm us. He will do good in our life. We should be able to dedicate ourselves to the Lord. You see, sacrifice to the Lord, dear brethren. Therefore, you see, we should never come empty-handed. Moses said, if we go, just like that, what are we going to have offered to the Lord? We need to offer ourselves, dear brethren. You see, therefore, you know, what did Moses reply? Read verse 26, brother. Amar brother, read Exodus 10, 26.
Ten twenty-six. Our cattle also shall go with us. There shall not an hoof be left behind.
You see, our cattle also will go behind with us. Not a hoof shall be left behind. Continue.
For thereof must we take to serve the Lord our God, and we know not with the, not with what we must serve the Lord until we come.
Either. Okay. So here, what did Moses say? We won't even leave a hoof behind. What is a hoof? What do you mean by hoof? Does anybody know? Hoof means what? You know, we all wear sandals, correct now? We all wear footwear, correct now? You know, hoof is the footwear of animal. You see? Moses said, I don't even leave my chapel and go. I won't even leave my footwear in Egypt and go. Forget about my footwear. Even the animal's footwear also, we won't leave in Egypt. That was a strict decision, a strong decision Moses made. Similarly, we should be like that. We would never leave anything behind. In offering our sacrifice to the Lord, we will come a dedicated heart, a whole heart to the Lord. Dear brethren, just imagine Do you think the Lord would please with that sacrifice? Yes, the Lord would definitely be pleased with the sacrifice, dear brother. And imagine tomorrow, if we finish our race and if we go to heaven, if the Lord comes and gives us the crown, if he gives us only half crown, will we accept it? You see, if he gives us half crown and tells, no, no, I'm sharing half crown to other, half crown to you. So 500 years you rule with Jesus, and next 500 years he will rule with Jesus. Will we accept? Will we accept that compromise? No. We will never accept that compromise. Similarly, we will tell, Lord, I have run so faithfully to you. Please give us the full crown. We will fight for our crown. We'll stand for our crown. That is what we need to do now. We should never compromise for anything, dear brethren. You see, the Lord would definitely strengthen us, but Satan would always try to deviate us. You see, not many people who are listening to the truth may consecrate. You see, Satan would try to deviate them from the truth. Now you see, by putting all sorts of unnecessary thoughts and deviations, as is done through the devil, he'll always do it. Oh, shall I consecrate or not? Oh, so much of fear will come. What the people will think? You see, we should think what God will think. You see, God never left God's children who stood for the truth. He always protected them. Similarly, God will definitely protect us. Rahab was the only woman who stood for the Lord. You see, but yet, God never left Rahab. Through Rahab, Jesus came, you know. And Tamar also was a lonely woman. But through Tamar came Jesus. Ruth, she was a strange woman. You see, everybody left her. You see, but she held on to Naomi. God never left Ruth. You see, he got betrothed to the richest man in Israel, Boaz. You see, and through them, Jesus came. Similarly, if you stand for the truth, God would never leave us. It is just a small test of our faith. God is testing and seeing at this moment how these God children are reacting and what type of decisions are they taking. Standing for the truth as a family and dedicate their life as a family, or else they're hesitating. Dear brethren, we need to stand for the truth and you see, and do the Lord's will. And definitely, Lord will help us to take decisions as Moses took. So may the Lord bless these words. Anybody has got any doubts, any questions, they can ask. Anybody, any questions? Any doubts? Joel brother, any doubts, any questions?
No, brother.
Romy sister, any questions, any doubts?
No, brother.
Amar brother, any doubts, brother? No question. Good. Una sister? Okay, good.